Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to taste in.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan Minor McDowell.
Oh, period. How long
professionally,
have you been
professionally, Dylan McDowell, and okay. Podcasting-wise.
You know what's insane? Even though I knew you were going to take on each other's last names, it was on this podcast that I found out the logistics, which is insane.
I love that it's recorded for human record, and the evolution of everything over the last couple of years is like kept track of too. Like idea, it'll be fun to listen back one day.
It's insane to me randomly that we have a podcast. I was like watching you talk and I thought, wow, this will live in perpetuity forever.
Cool. You know what's something I've been thinking about is in preparation for my wedding, which did happen on the 28th of February, for those who, you know, have been listening and hearing me talk about it with every single guest, I thought that the podcast might really take a back seat for me as like I entered wedding season. And the truth is I was able to really balance it all. And we kept going. We did take a short, like we stopped recording for a little while and we like kind of, you know, backlogged episodes, but I'm proud of how much it stayed present in my life because it is so important. But I have to say, it wasn't really a topic of conversation during the wedding weekend at all.
The pod?
Yeah.
I almost included something about the podcast in my Twin of Honor speech.
Oh.
But it just didn't make the final cut. Not for any specific reason, but like I could have very easily slipped in podcast co-host. You know?
Right.
But I just didn't.
The only person who even said the word drama was Grant.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You remember that in his speech?
I do. I do now. But you're married. It was truly the most amazing wedding weekend ever. And I'm not just saying that. I've never felt more love from a group of people for both people getting married. I think I might have said this at the top of my speech, but I've never been at a wedding where everyone loves. I keep wanting to say bride and groom. I'm like truly good. They're going to send me back to the Stone Age. But like the love was felt for both of you. And that was evident in all the speeches, in everyone you met. Y'all have just been together for a hashtag a decade of love. So right. Everyone really knows you two, which is so beautiful.
I think that is what it is, because we've curated such a community and they have gotten to know both of us on and off over the years. And you did an amazing job with your Twin of Honor speech, by the way. I don't know if you've hyped it up at all on the pod, but you really killed it. And I literally giggled to myself every couple of days about something different that you said.
That's so fun. You know, I do have a video of it.
Really?
Have you seen it? Our cousin Mary sat in the front row. I watched a little bit of it the next day, but I was in such an exhausted haze and everything that I wasn't really taking it in. I rocked back and forth while I was standing there a lot. Like I was kind of like kicking around and
I felt like you worked the room. We had a lot of speeches throughout the weekend. You know, we had events last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so there was lots of opportunities for different friends and family to speak. And they all took a different approach. And some just stood and delivered. And others sort of moved around a little bit. And some just like were nervous and like stared at their sheet. But you certainly, the performer in you came out. You were the grand finale.
That's so fun. I've been looking forward to that moment forever, Dylan. I have to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, how often in life do you get to speak like that in front of everyone's closest, nearest and dearest, you know?
Yeah. Undivided attention too.
Wow, that's crazy. I practiced that speech every day for like a month, sometimes twice a day. So I didn't have it like memorized where I was off book, but I knew it. You know, I had my paper, but I feel like I did the first few lines like pretty much off script.
So much so that I thought it was an off the cuff moment at the beginning.
Oh, really? That's fun. You know, I was trying to be like Heidi Schreck from What the Constitution Means to Me, or that gal, Susanna Flood from Liberation. I really wanted it to feel like it was my first time delivering.
That's amazing.
The monologue.
That's amazing.
But I have to say, I have not had to memorize anything really since college. It is so freaking hard. It took so much brain power. It made me realize, well, first of all the respect to actors, et cetera, who have to memorize things every day, sometimes new things every day for their shows. But when I'm doing anything, my brain is thinking about other things at the same time. And memorization is something where you cannot do that. You have to lock the heck in. Dylan, do you have any examples that you can think of where you have actually locked in fully on anything? Because I don't. I'm always thinking about like, oh, there's a song in my head, or oh, there's a... I'm also thinking about something I forgot that I need to write down and do later.
100% yes. I mean, like, for example, when I was writing my vows, I was fully locked in.
Okay. The vows. Dylan, I feel like we need to go day by day really quick, and I need you to tell me a quick highlight or memory, you know, because like I said, this is going to live on. And I would love to hear, like, 2 weeks later, basically, a week and a half. Oh, my God. A week and a half later, some of your top memories from each day. Okay, so Thursday was the final preview, which was a party. But before that, you did a little haircut happy hour with your wedding parties.
Yes. So a good friend of mine named Chaz opened his own upscale barbershop here in Columbus back in October. And he and I were hanging out a couple weeks ago when I was getting my haircut, if that is. And this idea was launched of like, why don't we get everyone together, have some drinks and food at the shop, like kind of right as it's closing, or like, you know, block off the end of the day. And everyone who was in town on Thursday came, and it was so much fun. I think for me, it was sitting in the chair and seeing everyone come in slowly but surely. It felt like a play or something, you know, as characters are making entrances throughout it. And I just kind of was like smiling and watching everything happen. My stomach was full of butterflies. I will say that was the biggest thing, is that I was very present at each event that I was at. I wasn't nervous for what was next until like the actual wedding day, because there was so much just to get through.
Yeah, that makes sense. You did seem super present. I'm obsessed with you feeling like it was a play, because it kind of did feel that way. It was everyone's first time seeing each other.
Yep.
You know, for years, some of us. It was so exciting to see everybody get together.
Yes. And then we went to the final preview of this event that you mentioned, which was meant to be a locals only welcome party. It ended up being whoever wanted to come into town on a Thursday night. Hunter reserved this like local cocktail bar that's literally at the top of our street. And I mean, we packed the house down, boots, some might even say. My highlight from that, because it was so overwhelming, it was like hosting a party. And we kind of, Hunter and I ended up just standing at the front table to greet everyone as they came in, because it would be so easy just to lose people.
That's really smart.
But for me, it finally felt real when Hunter and I sat down and Scotty gave the first speech of the whole weekend, which, by the way, really made me emotional. It was so beautiful.
Oh my God. I think we all inhaled a little bit like, oh boy, we're in for the weekend here. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to be hearing a lot of emotions.
And it was that for sure. And then the next day, you know, just getting ready, we obviously, as both, we call them groom's parties, and but mine were called, specifically my wedding party, were referred to as the Wedding Day Divas, and it included you. And then I'll give them all shout outs here just for fun. But Isaac, Lacey, Poot, Isaiah, Mary, Allison, Nikki, Matt Deptola, who of course the only person whose last name I say, and Lisa, who was our officiant. I also considered her to be one of my divas. So my Wedding Day Divas and Hunter's groom's party, majority of them gathered together. We rehearsed this dance that we did, a choreographed dance to Levitating by Dua Lipa, which was performed at the wedding reception as we re-entered after the ceremony and the cocktail hour. And that rehearsal was one of my favorite parts of the whole weekend. And then the rehearsal dinner, again, was just perfect to me. It was such an amazing, loud, community-focused, surreal event, truly. Just having everybody in one room. And then the stories that were shared. I thought the food was really great.
So good. I loved the food. And then how about DJ Steez Deptola at the welcome party afterwards? I mean, come on.
Definitely my highlight.
Mine too, of that night, the best DJ set the Short North has ever seen.
Everyone was raving about it, I have to say. And my only directive for Steve, who has been a friend of ours for over 12, 13 years now, and he's a pharmacist, but also a DJ by night, and kind of Kyle Cook vibes. And
literally. And Meredith Marks.
And Meredith Marks and DJ Pretty Mess. They're all really coming through.
And Dorinda's DJing a little bit too now.
Oh, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's that actually has taken it a bit too far. She has other skills she could be.
She's got the gift of gab.
Yeah. She is a Sirius XM radio show host.
See, that's perfect for her.
Yeah. Anyway. Regardless, oh my God.
My only directive for Steve was like gay pop and gay icons.
Boy, did he deliver.
He did. And it was supposed to only be an hour. It ended up being close to like 90 minutes, maybe even 2 hours. So much fun. And I feel like that was the night that everybody really let loose and had fun. And because at that point, you know, people had been in town for a day and the wedding was the next day. No one had anything to do until the actual ceremony. And so I think the people really let their hair down and danced and drank and tore up the town.
Yes. Oh, it was amazing. And then your actual wedding day, I forget how long those days are, but truly, that is such amazing time for the wedding party to bond. Because then the rest of the night, everyone's got their plus ones or their different tables and things like that. So that is really a special time for that group to get together. And I don't know, like, I feel like we did like little stretches and little circles where we talked about things and had mimosas and chatted and practiced our dance. And gosh, it was amazing. All the pictures, I cannot wait to see them.
Dying for the photos. Of course, our photographer's wife went into labor 3 weeks early last week, which delayed. He said he was like halfway done with getting the, I think it was just the preview of photos okay. ready. So yeah, dying for that. As far as the highlight goes for that day, it was truly one of the best days of my life, despite me being a total bundle of nerves. And I have to say, I took a lot of the advice that people like Brandon Flynn and Jen Colella gave me about just trying to stay as present as possible and connecting with people. And it didn't always work because there are, like you said, you were talking about earlier, it's hard to really zero in and focus on one thing. But I loved how much time Hunter and I were able to spend together and have meaningful moments with other people. So then we could reflect on them later as opposed to telling each other about things that happened throughout the night. But the dancing, the singing, all of that. I mean, the drag queens. We had Virginia West and Maya Business perform at the cocktail hour. And I mean, the ceremony itself, magic.
Dylan, the vows were so stunning from both of you. I feel like we don't talk about that enough. I mean, you pulled the gag of all gags during your vows when you pulled out a letter that Hunter wrote to you 6 months into dating that said, open when we're finally married. So you hadn't opened it and you read it aloud to the entire room for the first time. There was gasps and tears and giggles and smiles. And I think everyone's hearts were just bursting. It was crazy. That was a showstopper. I kept saying that all night. I was like, showstopper moment.
I mean, everyone who came up to me throughout the rest of the night applauded me for my bravery for opening that letter. And I remember the gasps as it occurred. Yeah, it was truly like a high that the minute that we like turned and like looked at everyone after we officially got married, it was, I said this in our little toast, it felt like the end of Big Fish. Like seriously, seeing everyone in one room, like I'm gonna get emotional talking about it right now. It is crazy, Connor. I mean, but you knew pretty much everyone there too. So yeah,
I know.
You were staring at my head the whole time.
The whole time. And Hunter's face. I feel like if I would have seen your face, I would have been sobbing the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, there were so many tears for sure.
Oh, it was so beautiful. Can you believe it's over? You're literally married now.
I cannot believe it's over. You know, I thought that it would kind of end and then life would go back to normal. And the wedding is still such a big part of my life, despite it being a week and a half ago. Like, it's all anyone wants to talk about with me and it's all I want to talk about with anyone. We've been writing thank you notes every single day. So we're thinking about it. We're going on our mini moon where we're going to be reflecting on it, I'm sure. And so I'm grateful that it wasn't like something that came and went and then just moved on. Whereas I feel like in life, there's such a buildup all the time for something. It's kind of like this podcast, right? We prepare and we research and you and I have a little like pre-interview chat. We talk to the guest. We then edit the episode. We put it out there. We pick clips and then it's over and on to the next one. And it can feel like such a machine sometimes, but with this, it was churned out, but I'm still reaping all of the beautiful benefits of it. So thank you for everything that you did. Thank you to all the listeners who sent love and support. That was so sweet. I promise photos are coming soon. I know everyone just wants to see. I want to see. I have not gotten like a good photo of Hunter and I yet from the weekend. And we looked great. So
you looked amazing.
I'm feeling amazing about it all.
Ah, I love it. I love it. Oh, and you guys walked out to When It's Your Wedding Day from The Wedding Singer.
Yes. Now,
that
did you
called?
Know that? Did you know that?
I didn't know. I didn't. I mean, I knew when I heard it immediately and I clocked it, but that was a fun surprise.
Yeah. A few people in the audience who are like the theater people mentioned that afterwards. They're like, we heard Wedding Singer. There was other theater moments that any drama listeners might be interested in. Hunter and I sang Falling Slowly. And then we also did a Celtic hand fasting ceremony, or I should say a Celtic hand fasting ritual during the ceremony. And our friend Eric played Gold from Once on guitar. And Hunter kept joking, like, how many songs from Once can we include without having to purchase the rights for a local production?
Literally. And you did do your first dance to Always Remember Us This Way from the Gaga Bradley Cooper A Star Is Born, which was another gag. There were
And
tears.
I don't think I told you about that.
No, I didn't know. I mean, that song.
We wrestled over maybe 3 songs and we listened to them, and maybe 30 seconds in, we were driving somewhere and Hunter looked at me, I looked at him, and I was like, yeah, this is the one without a doubt. It wasn't supposed to be the whole song. It was only supposed to be like a little over a minute, but they ended up doing the whole song, which is fine. It's so epic.
It's so epic. Now, were you ever considering singing Is That All Right from A Star Is Born at your reception?
Well, that's your number. So I
I wasn't asked to perform it.
No. No. You know, it's so funny. We also wrestled. Should I reveal all these secrets revealed?
It's fun.
I feel like this is like one
not?
Of those like last episodes of a Bravo season and they have the secrets revealed episode.
Yeah.
There was like a big plot that I had hatched to have a former, like a guest of drama come to the wedding and perform a lot of the live elements. So our first dance song, maybe like a, honestly, like a little set, like 3 different songs. And I made a short list. I consulted you on it. We thought we narrowed it down to who it might be, and neither of us pursued it. And I have to say it was for the best.
Agreed. I think when there's special guests like that at weddings, it can be like the only thing people talk about. Well, Dylan, I think it was truly, like I said, the most spectacular time. Anything else you want to say about this? I remember us recording a podcast right after your engagement 2 years ago, right around now. And to think how fast time flies is insane.
I don't have much to say other than I feel like planning the entire wedding, like Hunter and I did the whole thing ourselves with the help of our friends and family, obviously, but every decision made was basically ours. I have so many thoughts. I have so many thoughts about wedding planning. I have advice for brides out there. I have tips and tricks. I have commentary. I have a renewed sense of what it means to not only plan a wedding, but I also have thoughts on what it means to be a wedding guest and that whole process. And I would love to spill on that at some point.
Okay, that's juicy as hell. Can you, like, what do you mean?
Like, for example, like when you get a wedding invitation in the mail and you know you're going to that wedding for the sake of the couple getting married, RSVP immediately. It is so helpful. And go into the registry or whatever and do your gift right then and there so you don't forget.
That's good etiquette. That's like good word to the wise of a wedding attendee, though. Because, I mean, you know me, I usually will like RSVP, but then like I don't have my card on me or whatever, so I don't go to the registry and do it right away. So I'll like, you know, I'll be on my phone or whatever. I don't know. I'm such a millennial, though, where I can't make big purchases outside of my computer. Young millennial, by the way. But that's good advice. That's good advice.
All this to say, stay tuned for my TikTok wedding influencer Q&A career incoming.
Dylan, I need that. You know what I miss is when you were doing podcasting advice on the drama TikTok. That was
that
so
no
fun.
One asked that no one asked for. I think I did like 3 of them.
I was watching it like, oh, I'm learning things.
I would totally do that. I feel like back in the day, you and I, back when people were starting podcasts monthly, I feel like we would get questions from people all the time about how do you do this? How do you do that? I mean, the number of like calls that you and I took with people who were wanting mentorship.
Yes.
I mean, it was a lot. We did that with a lot of people and most of them never ended up launching podcasts.
How crazy. I feel like I blocked that out of my brain because it was during the 2020, 2021 era.
Right.
We really took a lot of meetings during the pandemic. Didn't we? Like,
yeah.
That's crazy. I wonder what that is. Because I feel like anything, podcasting has changed a lot. And it certainly felt like the way people got, it was a creative outlet, got their thoughts out there, tried to break through, et cetera, for a few years there. But now that podcasts have become such a visual medium, I feel like I'm not seeing a lot of new ones anymore because people know that you've got to, it's got to look pretty good at this point to do it.
Right.
Like the setup with the lighting and the cameras is pretty pivotal. I mean, we obviously still do it on Zoom because of where we live. And I can think of other podcasts that still release clips and stuff on Zoom because they record across country and stuff. Shout out to Gavin with Gib. Gibson does his.
I thought of him as you were saying that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not unusual, but wouldn't you agree? I don't see a lot of new podcasts pop up these days in the way that they were for years.
There's, of course, room at the table for everyone. So
yeah,
maybe I will start giving advice again and it will encourage some upstart podcasters. Enough about me, enough about the wedding. Okay. I appreciate you humoring me. But in these next 20 minutes, I do want to talk about what else has been going on in the world. We were just sort of touching on a theater. The Olivier Award nominations were announced last Friday. It seems like Paddington is that girl.
Paddington's that girl. You know what's not? Oh, Mary.
I saw that. Was the play nominated?
The play was nominated. And the actor who is playing Mary's husband was nominated.
Okay. Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I always find that fascinating when a show goes to London or a show from London comes here and they're a critical darling, sometimes just in one of those places. And sometimes it's not where it started. You know what I mean? Like Legally Blonde popped off in the West End.
Yes.
But not,
I mean, Shucked
Broadway.
Is like a huge front runner. I mean, not a huge front runner, but Shucked got a ton of nominations. Here We Are was like another best musical nomination.
Yep.
And have you heard of this, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry?
No. Musical? What is that?
Neil, who is a dear listener and friend.
Oh, right. Yes.
Told me that he saw it he's seen it a few times. I didn't realize Passenger wrote all of the music to it.
Which we loved Passenger famously in the early 2010s.
And why is that, Connor?
Because they opened for Ed Sheeran at the LC Pavilion, right?
Yeah, now called Kemba Live.
Now, period. When we were freshmen at Ohio State, we like got cheap ass tickets to see Ed Sheeran and took the bus over there on a weeknight. Wait, that's right. So cute. I'm obsessed with us as teens.
And then I remember we saw a friend the next day from high school who like, or later that weekend maybe. And she said to us, wow, that's really cool. That's probably the last time you'll see him in that intimate of a venue. And literally the next year we saw him at like a stadium in an arena.
Yeah. Well, he did open and perform with Taylor at the Red Tour.
That's true.
Like 9 months later, which we also got like $80 tickets to. And they were amazing.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so
That's
crazy.
That's crazy.
The Olivier's fascinate me though, because off West End, like the rules around it, like are truly so fascinating. Like there's this, the Bridge Theater, for example, has Into the Woods. That was like a huge leader in nominations. That American Psycho at the Alameda Theater was nominated. So it's like, wait, like what counts as new or not? Or
it's
maybe
odd
the pool
to me.
Is that small that they kind of need to group in everybody?
Maybe. I will say the guy who plays Patrick Bateman in the American Psycho musical is so hot.
Yes. Well, he has to be. That's pretty
so hot. They released a clip of him shirtless, like his huge chest. I was like, this is how you sell tickets to a musical.
And it was like sold out extended. Evita, Diego Andres Rodriguez, and Rachel Zegler. An actor named Zachary Hart was nominated for both his role in The Seagull and for his role in Stereophonic. He's twice nominated in the same category.
That is cool.
Yes. I don't think you're allowed to be that is not allowed to happen in certain awards bodies. I don't know for sure about the Tonys, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's really interesting. Because if you think about, like, even for movies or TV shows, if, you know, you're in a limited series twice that year and you're in supporting roles or whatever, normally just one gets campaigned for. But for theater, it's different because, like you said, there's such smaller amount of product that that's cool that he got recognized twice.
I know. I love that.
I love that.
And then obviously there's That Much Ado About Nothing that's going to be coming to Broadway. Jamie Lloyd's next Broadway venture starring Tom Hiddleston and Hayley Atwell.
Who we love.
We love. And then apparently Evita is following it shortly thereafter. So I'm very excited about that. I don't know if Paddington is the type of a musical that would end up coming here and selling well, because I do feel like it is a very British property.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when it was announced, I was talking to our mom about it, and she said we loved Paddington when we were kids. She said we loved the book.
Is it like a Matilda that would do well here?
I think so. In the puppetry, yeah. I have a feeling it's coming sooner than later.
I know that we talk about this all the time because of this like sort of lighter new musical season. What would be like the star musical of this season that maybe didn't get its due last year, this season, if it would have waited?
I wonder if Dead Outlaw would have, because that was so short-lived and it came in super late. And there were already all these like beloved longer running things at that point, like Sunset, Gypsy, maybe Happy Ending. Gosh, I mean, I know I'm forgetting something really
that
obvious.
Becomes Her.
That Becomes Her. Yeah, all these fall openings that just sustained. And Dead Outlaw, it was truly a, either you saw it or you didn't. And it got a lot of nominations, but it just didn't last. It just didn't last.
Its actors even got nominated too, which I thought was showed the strength of the show. Like, look, these actors are all so amazing. We want to reward them. Okay, my vote for that is Redwood. I know that's a crazy thing to say.
That's a hot take. You
if
are dying
Redwood
on
came
that.
Out this year in this spring season, I feel as though people would have been like excited about it.
I'm obsessed with that. I feel like it would be received the same way, but I love living in this world where like the sliding doors situation where it waited a season and it's the hit. So
or maybe Smash.
Maybe Smash. I mean, I feel like Boop was beloved, you know?
Boop would be the frontrunner this season. But I have to say, I don't want it to be any other way because I loved last year's theater season and it was so full of questions and excitement. Audra versus Nicole, so many new musicals, so little slots. I will cherish it forever. It was such an exciting time. And this season is just its own beast. And I'm excited to see what it has to come. And we will definitely be previewing what is to come soon.
Watch this space, y'all. We're going to do a little spring preview because there's low-key so much, not only on Broadway, but off Broadway. I mean, Jesse Tyler Ferguson is playing Truman Capote quietly off Broadway. And like, I just found out about it today. So like,
yes,
there's a lot to get into for sure.
Other theater news I did want to mention real quick is we were on the topic of West End. Leslie Odom Jr. is going over to the West End to play Aaron Burr in Hamilton.
He can't get enough.
I'm honestly so surprised by this. The work can't be drying up that he needs to play this role from over a decade ago again. It must just be like a fun victory lap. I mean, Adam and Anthony did it forever with Rent.
The work is definitely not drying up. And you know that paycheck is fat as fuck. Tony winner who comes back and audiences are going crazy for it. I mean, that's exciting as hell.
That's a good point too. It's a necessary injection and investment in both theater communities now.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Wait, oh my God. Did you see that video of the girl in Hamilton on Broadway?
Your Hamilton is hell is all I have to say about that.
The girl who's playing Angelica in Hamilton on Broadway posted this video that she was like cooking at home and she dropped a knife. It like slipped out of her hand and sliced a tendon in her foot. Like it fell and hit her foot.
Oh my God.
Which is an interesting reminder to like wear closed-toed shoes while you're cooking or something, because I am always just like barefoot in the kitchen. I'm the barefoot Contessa. And she thought she just like hurt it or whatever, but like she literally needs surgery and she's leaving Hamilton like this week.
What's her name?
Her name is Giselle Ayan.
Our heart goes out to Giselle. That is so crazy.
I know. And she's like going to get surgery and then like hopefully come back. But her contract ends like May 13th or something. So she was like, y'all, this is my last performance, like I think, of Hamilton. She's like, I might be recovered and back in time to finish my contract. But otherwise, like, this is so tragic. Like, imagine having your Broadway dreams come true and then a simple accident like stops you from, like, you can still basically live your life. But damn, I feel so bad for her.
I mean, we posted about this on our The Drama Close Friends, which y'all can access too if you pay $5 a month to be part of Drama Plus. So again, another weird thing that happened. Olivia Hardy, who was in Heathers off Broadway, had some vocal stuff that she needed to take care of. And the producers of Heathers said, we'll be here when you're ready. And they ended up just not even renewing her contract or letting her come back.
That's so shitty.
It's really shitty. And it's like, your employee got injured because of the job that they were doing for you, and you should not fire them because you harmed them ultimately. It's like a workman's comp thing. Anyways, if you get injured on the job, your work has to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I'm really sad for her. She's incredibly talented. And I don't know, it just seems unfair. Like, I think that if anything, we should draw awareness to this type of thing. And
producers are going to be crazy always. Like, I don't know if there's any like non-crazy producers out there. They just want money and they could come up with any excuse for anything. Like, they probably were like, we were replacing all of the Heathers. So, you know, it's not you. It's that we're refreshing the cast every however many months. Like, they probably came up with some excuse like that if like she justified or wanted to press charges or something. But like, good for her for speaking out on it. Like,
right.
Thanks to social media, people have followings now and can say whatever they want. And their truths don't have to just be rumors, you know?
Right. I will say there are non-crazy producers, but it's not like the ones that are like the lead producers. You know, it's the co-producers, the investors, yeah. The people who are doing it for the love of the game, not for the bottom line. You know,
because
the truth of the matter is what is the recoupment rate? It's so low. I don't even know if it's even post-pandemic. I don't even know what it is. So
I know.
Yeah. That's disappointing.
Speaking of Heathers, worst transition ever. Like, this is going to make it sound crazy. But two-time drama guest John Cardoza is going to be playing JD, replacing our beloved Casey Likes. And yes. I cannot wait to see John be a baddie. It's how I felt when Casey went in. I was like, oh my God, JD is such a fun villain type role. And to see these leading men get to do it, I feel like that's probably such a blast for them to step into.
Totally. I have not seen Heathers yet.
Maybe when John goes in.
It's extended through summer, so hopefully on one of my next trips. So I don't think he'll be in yet when I come next, sometime this spring. Okay. I think he goes in at the end of April.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
There are so many other non-theater, non-marriage-related topics. Is there a quick reality rundown you want to do on anything going on in the reality TV world? Because, you know, a lot of our listeners watch all the same shows as us. Traitors ended.
Rob was a great traitor. Spoiler alert. People are really discoursing Rob's win in a weird way. He was great. He got almost everyone to believe that he was not a traitor. And that's the point of the game. And
that's the thing. It's the point of the game. Why can you be mad at someone for playing the game the way the rules are stated? I don't know. It's so interesting.
The group of faithfuls was a little gullible, but it just shows how good of a game he played. And also, he's super hot. So, yeah. I mean, who among us has not been tricked by a hot man before? Yeah. I mean, come on. But good for him. Up to the end. And Maura is a freaking icon.
I do feel her career is going to continue to, the star will continue to rise.
I think she is going to have like the Gabby Windy, Dylan Efron kind of trajectory here, where she's like one of the breakout stars from the season for sure. And I think we're in a renaissance.
We're for sure in a renaissance. It couldn't have been better timing with her book, Traitors airing. With Maura, I could even see her becoming a host in a bigger capacity, like hosting the UK, Love Island, or All Stars. I feel like there's like less excitement around Ariana now. So I could even see her stepping into that eventually.
I could see that too. And it would be a really natural takeover because she already hosts After Sun, the Love Island.
And anyone
After
who
show.
Has not seen Maura's season of Love Island UK, you will understand why she is that girl. And why she is the only Love Island contestant from the British or American series to break out from being a contestant to becoming an employee of the show. So
yeah, you will see why. So true. God, she's iconic. You had told me her season was great. And it's referred to by many as the season with Maura. You know, like that's that's huge. I never picked Love Island UK back up. I think I watched 3, 4, and 5. And then took a break. Right when they hit the pandemic, I took a break. And never went back to it.
I randomly watched a season of it, like, right around or before the Dylanette. And it was a delight.
Oh, my God. Speaking of the Dylanette, I went to go see Sunset Boulevard screened at the Metrograph.
Another transition for the gods.
No, I mean, it is, though, because one of the first shots you see is of Paramount Pictures, Paramount Studios. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, the Dylanette was like, in a way, built around Paramount and Sunset Boulevard and low-key Vanderpump Rules. And it was hilarious that I was watching Vanderpump Rules on the train, you know, while I was going back and forth to seeing Sunset Boulevard yesterday. And I was like, wow, this age-old concept of trying to make it in Hollywood Whether you're a server at Sir, trying to get in the pictures, or just attending the Dillinette. I mean, really, it's the price of fame and the price of ambition and dreams and the studio system and the pull of the West Coast. I mean, it really had me thinking, Dylan. It really did.
I'm so gagged. I love it. I love that too. So much.
I could see us living in LA.
I could see you in LA for sure.
Really? I don't know. I feel like I get a vibe that like I could see you like driving to the beach, like meeting up with friends for like coffees and, you know, West Hollywood.
Maybe.
I don't know. I feel like I could see us thriving there for like a summer.
A summer. Wow. That is powerful and actually gives me chills.
Unfortunately, if either of us ever fully left New York, I fear the podcast would be over.
I agree. Unless it just pivots into something different and becomes like a Hollywood podcast for a little while or...
Wow. Or takes a break, which who can say? But anyway.
Okay, really quick. Do you have a dose of drama?
Yes. Candy Burris was in Anne Juliet for months and I never saw her in it. And I'm feeling so sad about it. I also didn't see any bootlegs or anything either. So if anybody has bootlegs of Candy Burris and Anne Juliet, please send them to me.
I saw one clip from like a Daily Show, you know, like one of those like Good Morning America's or whatever. Apparently she was amazing. My dose of drama is this. And this is something I was thinking about because someone that you and I don't love in the Broadway community, this is real drama, is announced to be a part of a reading.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, what if that becomes like a show that is then on or off Broadway? Would we just not go? Would we not support? And I thought to myself, that probably happens all the time in the theater community where your ex best friend or someone who won the role out over you, does that totally like
soil it?
Does that soil the whole situation for you? Like you suddenly can't go and support or like or love? Like I've been thinking about this. You and I don't have enemies in the theater community.
I think we would just ignore it. Like we've ignored other shows that have been on Broadway through the years. Like we never have covered MJ ever.
Yeah.
I think there was another show last season that we just totally skipped.
We didn't talk about Little Bear Brown Ridge. Oh,
I mean, I did, but you were mad at me about it, but whatever. Oh my God. Anyway, well, this was so much fun. Y'all, we're going to be coming back to you soon with a spring theater preview at some point. In the meantime, Dylan's got a honeymoon to go on. A mini moon.
I gotta go, y'all. Gotta pack my bags. And you know where to find us. We're at The Drama Podcast everywhere. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor's at Connor McDowell. Thank you all for listening. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.